Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly, deeply grateful to be with you on this 25th day of January 2020. Gorgeous day. And a chance to share with you some hopefully interesting insights that my listeners, my readers as well, people who read my commentary and listen to my podcast and video cast, all have these wonderful questions. And I'm very grateful that I have the opportunity and the honor to do this with you. I want to remind you that the only reason this is occurring, the only reason is due to the fact of the generosity of my sponsors and the people who made donations during the holidays to make this radio program, to allow it to exist in the first place. And I am profoundly grateful for everything that all of you have done to help keep this going. This radio program and the new Aspire programs, well, they're not new. They're programs that we're going to be airing here in the very near future called I Gotcha. Were aired way back in the 80s, but still they're very relevant to everything that is spiritually oriented and what we're all facing and living with here on the planet. These are all supported by your tax-deductible gifts, and I am very, very grateful. They serve humanity. They serve humankind in many different ways. Many people come to the website, listen to these radio programs, as well as listening to the podcast, watching the video cast, and the TV programs that I offer. So they're all there. You do a great deal of good by being a sponsor. Plus, you help me with my efforts at hospice and with the new BATMO project with the children. We're looking forward to spring because that's when a lot of events are going to be taking place. And the BATMO will be there for children, helping them understand what it means to have compassion. A compassionate crusader for kindness is what our motto is, and we're working really diligently on that with everybody to help children. And they have quite a world to face, and we're trying to help them with maybe their psychology a little bit and being compassionate and kind. All of this you do through your gifts, and I want to thank you for being sponsors. Okay, let's get to it. This is the subject is on God. Is there a God? Oh, my goodness. Is there a God? So I'm going to read these questions to you one by one and answer them, of course, and hopefully be able to help you. I don't know if you're trying to check me out or whether or not you're checking yourself out. I don't know, okay? But let's get into it. Greg, this is from Robert in San Diego. Are you a godless person? Seems so to me. Can you explain yourself, Robert? I'd be happy to explain myself. You know, everybody takes whatever and brings it down to the mental acuity that person or me as a person can handle. So we like to take our dogs, our cats, our birds, whatever, and make them seem human. You know, we talk to them and we give them a persona, an ideal, some kind of attitude we like to think they have. I know my cocker has attitude, but that's another story altogether. And then we like to believe that also everybody thinks the same and that we understand what everybody is believing. And we like to cast what I call aspersions on almost anything and everyone for the sake of just the joy of casting the aspersions. And in my experience, I have never felt comfortable about that. When I was a child, Robert, I was told that God was the image and likeness of a man, and not a woman, a man, and that God was unknowable, but he was good. But he often had strange ways of showing this good by seemingly doing injustices to people and making it look like they weren't. And then I tried to sit down, I'll never forget this, at age 8 and read the Bible, which was very difficult. But by the time I was 11, I had it, and I didn't understand a single thing that I read. Not a single thing. So as the years rolled on, I tabled God. I knew it existed, but I never could understand his modality, his method, why he was a man and not a woman or a he-she or whatever. I never understood all of that. What are men better than women? You women and religion, I don't get it. You know, how can you sit there and protest all of the things you do about men and how the work and the world belongs to them? And it really doesn't, but everybody likes to think that. It gets everybody hot and bothered. And then not get on God, you know. Why does God have to be a he or a she? So when I was in seminary, I started to explore a little bit. What if God weren't a man or a woman? And what was God's premise for his own existence? And I did presentations based on that, of course. You know, everybody yelled at me and told me I was, you know, off the charts. And you have to teach people that there is a supreme being that we all answer to. And believe it or not, people like that idea that there is a supreme being. It's like thinking your president is watching over you and protecting you and has your welfare at heart. Politicians, all of them, they don't have your welfare in their heart, and they don't give a darn about it all. They really don't. You think they do because you want to think they do, but they don't. They're all the same. They're all cookie cutter. It's the whole idea is to get their snout in the public trough, and that's it. If being president and working in Congress and such were a voluntary basis where you didn't get paid, I know that none of these people would even be there. So when you start looking at trying to find something greater than yourself, that's where God was created, in the image and likeness of a psychology of trying to find something greater than ourselves. That's God. So to me, that is not God. And yes, you would have to call me, Robert, traditionally speaking, a godless person, because I do not have any experience with this funky God, this fickle finger of fate kind of God that bestows all sorts of crap on some people and all sorts of good on others. And the good that is derived on others often are people who are far lesser nature in the form of kindness and compassion than the average bear. So, no, I'm not a God guy, okay? You need to understand that. There is a God, but not the God that you and I can think about in our mental acuity and formulate an ego out of. And it's all about ego. So the God that most people can render in their mind or even consider is an egotistical God, a God that is a man, image and likeness of a man, and has reasons and purposes and thinking processes that we can't know, and we're his creation. And I don't buy any of that. That is all a bunch of malarkey, and a lot of people need to believe that because, and I'm going to say it, Robert, right here on radio, they're too stupid to figure out anything else, and they just don't care. They want a God that they can believe in. As one of my colleagues once said years ago, Ernest Wilson, and I loved him dearly, he said, people need a God with skin on. And that's exactly the truth. That's what they do. That's what it's all about. So I'm not one of those guys. I am more a Stephen Hawking kind of person, looking at the physics of it all. I am very interested. There's a lot to be said about astronomy. There is a lot to be said about understanding the science of the universe. And then understanding, well, I'll tell you, it came to me when I was in India with the Tibetans, and I had a very powerful, powerful moment or two there, to say the least, and realized that God is a process of unfoldment, of intelligence, of absolute beauty, of absolute intrigue, for at least for me, to watch this whole thing unfold inside and within people. And godless, I don't consider myself a godless person. I really don't. Nobody is. We're all subject to God. And I truly feel that Jesus said it all and was correct when he said, God is love. So there you are. There's my whole premise. It is my direct experience of the whole thing. I see it everywhere I walk. I actually see it in everything I do. I see it in this radio program as I sit here at 3:18 in the morning and make this radio program for you so you understand. This is the essence of evolution. God is an evolution into love. And if I explained it all to you here on the radio, you wouldn't believe it, you wouldn't understand it, and I probably wouldn't have the capacity in my intellect or in my verbiage, in my syntax to really explain it all, because it is an experience. It is not something that intellectually can be explained. It is a direct experience, that which we call God. I'm going to leave it at there, Robert, but there you are. And I hope that that helps you very much. Thank you for your kind words about the radio program and the TV programs that you enjoy. I'm glad. And yes, From the Heart of the Tao will be coming up maybe later this year on the website, another series that I did, my first series on the Tao. And we shot it in San Francisco. And I'll share that with you. Please forgive me, Robert. Namaste. The next question comes from Jan in Los Angeles. If God exists, Greg, why does he not do something more to help humankind? This is a, and then she uses the next, I can't say. This is a mess, Jan. Jan, you're asking me, what are you asking me? I mean, I agree with you. If God were everything religion says, he is one funky dude who really isn't worthy of worship at all. And I've never understood how so many people could be so stupid. But I'm going to give you this. And there is a tremendous inability for people to think beyond their self-righteousness and their self-preservation. It is self-preservation that is the big issue. People have a great deal of difficulty trying to think beyond their survival. Is there anything past survival? It's so hard for people to survive relationships, friendships, work relationships, work, money, government. We have so much thrown at us that it makes it very difficult for us to have any time at all to do the things that would represent awakening, spiritual awakening. We don't have time for it. And on top of that, when you are in self-preservation and you're working two or three jobs just to exist, you don't have the energy to sit down and study or meditate or explore different thoughts. You just don't have it. You're tired. I hear this. I see it in my work. I see it at hospice. I see it with people in general. I mean, it really is very, very difficult to live in this world and survive it. So the mental acuity of most people is to survive, and you can't blame them. A lot of people went to school, you know, college, they're flipping burgers. There's a lot of people who didn't go to college. There are a lot of people who didn't finish high school. There's a lot of drug and alcohol addictions. I mean, just to say the least, our issue with marijuana, our issues with ourselves, we don't feel good enough or enough to be able to survive. There's blah, 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 all this stuff going on. Who has time? And then that takes away from the whole idea of caring. Who cares? This is where the YOLOs were created. A YOLO is a person who believes you only live once. So you have that going on, Jan, where people just say, you know, screw it. I'm not going to go to church and sing these stupid hymns and listen to a minister talk to me about a God that is good or has a plan when I don't have one for me and I don't see how it works. And if this is his creation, he truly screwed it up, but good. I could have done better. I could have done better. But there you are. So you're right. It's ridiculous, but people like to have one thing, and you got to understand this. I'm writing a commentary on it right now, Jan, and it's about the whole idea that we need to believe that there is something greater than ourselves. We're trying to make sense out of an illogical modality of living. And we try to make sense out of our life. And in doing so, we have to have something superior, something inferior. We need to have something we want and something we don't want. We live in this dichotomy of parallels, of looking at our life that there is good, there's bad, there's right, there's wrong. We only can think in terms of reducing our life down to moral precepts and concepts. We live in the contrary way of this world. We don't take care of it. We don't take care of our minds. We don't take care of the planet. We don't understand, and we don't care to understand because we're too busy trying to find some carefree moments when we don't have to think about how we're going to earn a living, if we have enough money to pay our taxes or go to the grocery store or things like that. We just don't want to think about it. We really don't. So in the effort of not thinking about it, this is what happens. We become indifferent to the whole experience that is God. And, you know, there's karma involved in this as well. And so there's a great deal of difficulty with trying to find the meaning, the substance, the life that is love. We just really, really have a great struggle with it all. So you say, if God exists, why doesn't he do something more to help? Because it lives through us. This presence that we call God, or Jesus called love, and the Father, and all that other stuff that he did, trying to relate it to people who were just not that bright. And I don't say that with any degradation. I really don't. I'm not that bright. No, none of us are that bright. So you have to kind of understand we get what we can accumulate or assimilate through our mental acuity, and that's as far as it ever goes. So you got to look at it from that point of view. But if you really want to know God, really want to know God, you're going to have to do what Jesus said, hunger and thirst after righteousness. You're going to have to really go for it. This means meditation. You're going to have to stop the way your mind assumes things and go in the way in which awakens your heart and your soul. That's a big project that most people just can't do or won't do, aren't interested in doing. And in my opinion, for a lot of people, it's just beyond their pay grade. Just is. That's the world we live in. As Jesus said, there will always be wars and rumors of wars in this world. And there will always be stupid people, and there will always be smart people, and neither one of them are going to know God. They'll just make it up, but they all want to belong to one thing, something greater than themselves. And if they don't have that, they have no hope for something greater than themselves and being linked to that, they're not going to do much. And that's the end of that, Jan. You and I need to be the change we wish to see in this world, as Gandhi said, and he was correct. Please forgive me. Namaste. I don't know if you'll forgive me. Last question. This is from Len. He does not tell me where he lives. If not God, Greg, then what? Len. Well, again, it's a hairy thing to say God. It all depends on what you mean by God. And I kind of described that all to you here in this radio program, so I won't, you know, bore you with that. But if you want a God, you can believe in one. And if that torques you, that's fine. I don't have a problem with people who do that. I really don't. That's what you need. That's what you need. But if you want to really move deeper and comprehend something that is beyond the speculation of intellectual assumption, then you're going to have to learn to meditate. You're going to have to learn to understand duality and mental and emotional duality. You're going to have to understand all the crazy things that we throw in front of us that pertain to undermining our existence here on earth and undermining the presence of love that lives within us. Remember, this whole thing is about love. It is not about anything intellectual. Now, you can get into the intellectual premise of the universe if you want. You can get into the Hawking thing if you want. You can do any of that at any time you want. But if you do, you're going to miss. And if you miss, what can I say to you? You miss. Because the mind is not going to be able to deal with any or all of that. So you're going to have to look at your life from the point of view of a goodness that exceeds whatever it is that my mind says is good. My human mind, my Greg Penn mind, all he wants is everybody to be happy, to be forgiving. He wants to see great mercy and kindness. He wants to see all of that. He wants a happy little world, and it isn't going to happen that way. So you ask me, Len, if not God, what? Love. Maybe it would be important to explore love beyond the precepts and the concepts of emotionality. What if nothing was the way Greg Penn emotionally thinks it is, which is the truth? Then you start on the premise of there is no evil, there is no good, there is no up, there is no down. What if everything was beyond the extremes of good and bad, right and wrong, God and the devil, or whatever you believe? What if? That would be an amazing thing, and it could be done, and it is done by those of us who just don't sit in the box and accept the status quo. It's a very important thing. I'm out of here. Thank you, Len, for your beautiful question. Thank you so much. I hope that this program provoked some thinking in you, and then non-thinking. Give up thinking. Go into yourself. Practice. It's so worth it. Believe me, it is. Please forgive me for this program, and I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Namaste.